Hello, friends. Welcome to Beyond the Matrix. This is the program that dares you, implores you to get out of the box of conventional safe thinking and soar with the eagles in the free thought zone, the place where you take responsibility for every thought and every action, and you birth new things, things that matter more than ever at this time of co-creating a new reality on planet Earth. This is Patricia Corey. I'm the author of The Syrian Revelations. Many of you are already familiar with my work. If you're not, you can check me out at SyrianRevelations.net and see what I'm up to besides doing this, what I hope is a very important program helping bring the truth out to as many people as possible. And I'd like to all thank you. All of you have really heard the call in my recent messages to tune in today because of my guest, Rosalind Peterson, what we're going to be talking about, which is probably, in my humble opinion, one of the most important things that's happening on this planet, and that is what is going to be done in the oceans, how desperately the sea mammals, the sea beings need help, and we're going to go all the way into this conversation. It's not going to be lightweight, but I just don't do things halfway. If we're going to do it, we go all the way. So get your seat. Grab any like-minded people that want to know what's going on in this world and bring them close to you so they can listen in. And get ready to have your hats blown off with my guest today. Her name is Rosalind Peterson. Let me just tell you a little bit about her before I bring her on. Rosalind is a California president and co-founder of the Agriculture Defense Coalition. The coalition was formed in 2006 to protect agricultural crop production from, does this sound like something we know about? Uncontrolled experimental weather modification programs, atmospheric heating and testing programs, and ocean and atmospheric experimental geoengineering programs. That covers a lot of controversial subjects, most eloquently labeled in scientific terms, but we all know what we're talking about because we're tuned in and we're aware of what's going on. Today we're going to be talking about the new Navy sonar plans for the next 5 years, it's heavy stuff. So with that introduction, Rosalind, I'd like to thank you first of all for doing this work. And thank you for being on the show today.
Well, thank you very much for having me on the show. It's a great honor and a privilege to be here with you today.
Thank you, Rosalind. Well, I've promised you and the people that listen in and myself that we are really going to go just dive into this because the show is beyond the matrix. So we need to expose so much of what you have so aptly and in depth covered in your work and discoveries about the new plans. I'm not sure they're all new, but the, let's say the upcoming programs the Navy has with sonar and other mechanisms, other warlike plans for our oceans. Where do we start?
Well, I think what we need to start is that the United States Navy has engaged in a series of projects, and they're called ranges. And these ranges are all over the United States. They're located in Hawaii, Japan, Okinawa, the Marianas Islands, and they're divided, and these ranges are divided by, in other words, geographic location. And in each of these locations, the Navy has requested permission to start warfare testing expansions and warfare testing. And part of this is they're going to be using mid and high range frequency sonar. They're going to be using explosive detonations. They're going to be doing anti-submarine warfare tracking exercises, mine avoidance training. They're going to be doing live missile exercises, gunnery exercises, bombing exercises, sinking exercises, and mine warfare training. Now, they're going to be doing this in the Atlantic, in the Pacific, and in the Gulf of Mexico. So they're covering the almost the whole of the Pacific Ocean in certain areas. They're covering the Atlantic seaboard, and they're covering almost all of the Gulf of Mexico. And they're asking permission to actually what they call take, and this means harass, hunt, capture, kill, hunt, shoot, wound, trap marine mammals. It's 32 species of marine mammals that are going to be impacted by this program, and to take them really means that they're going to be decimating them or the habitat that surrounds the areas where these marine mammals are. In addition, any bomb blast will take care of any fish. It will take care of any underwater habitat. The chemicals that they're going to be using, some of them are banned by the Geneva Convention, like white phosphorus, red phosphorus. Then they're going to be using depleted uranium. They're going to be using a whole host of chemicals.
They're going to be using depleted uranium in the oceans?
Yes, because some of the bullets and some of the other things that are going to be used are made with depleted uranium.
You know, really, one remains utterly speechless, and of course I can't be speechless on a radio show, but the diabolical intensity of what's going on this planet sometimes is just, it's just like a movie. Now, why in the world does the Navy have to use this mega warfare against the oceans? I mean, obviously they're going to say it's because they need to protect us from terrorists. That's the catchphrase for everything. But really, don't we have enough war going on everywhere else to distract us, at least distract the Navy long enough to keep them their eyes off of the one? It's not uncontaminated, but for God's sakes, haven't they got enough war to think about without attacking, declaring war on our oceans?
Well, the Navy says that they need to practice, and so therefore, they're all of these programs that they have initiated, which have already started this year, or will start in the near future, are all 5-year warfare testing programs. And they say they need to test for war, but the United States Navy, in my opinion, is going to war on our marine mammals and the sea life in all of our oceans, which are already threatened.
Why do you suppose that they're doing this? Because obviously practicing for war is a very lame excuse for this all-out assault on everything living in the oceans. What is the diabolical underpinning of this new surge in activity in the ocean?
Well, I think that they want to test future warfare testing systems, I think, and some of it is classified. But anybody can look at the environmental impact statements, which are online. One of them is at www.nwtrange.com. And you can look at, they're going to be impacting sea turtles, marine mammals, they're going to have birds, fish, the food supply for the marine mammals, everything. And they're going to be increasing thousands of Hellfire missiles. They're going to be testing things that they've already used in past wars. They're going to be blowing up everything in sight, everything that they can do. And they're going to test future weapon systems, even over the continental United States. In states like Idaho and Oregon, they're going to do on-land testing. So they're actually starting testing, which is on the people of the United States as well as the oceans that belong to all the peoples of the world.
I'm speechless again, which is such a rarity that it's worth taking note of. Tell us a little bit more of how you became aware of this profound. What drove you, what led you into researching and finding out more about this so-called sonar programming? Let's just call it all-out war against everything living in the oceans.
Well, it was back in the mid-February this year, and I had sent an email to a friend of mine asking for some information on a totally unrelated subject, and he sent me an email back, answering my question, and at the very end, in a throwaway line, he says, well, I guess you know about the Navy program that's supposed to start off the Pacific Ocean in the near future, and he says, I guess there's nothing we can do about it. So I immediately emailed him back and said, how do I get information? Who's doing this and when and where and why? And so when I first learned about the program on February 17th of this year, I immediately started an investigation and to alert people to what's going on, got a hold of the EIS. I just gave you the link that you can go look up. And I started reading the 1,000 pages of this document, was absolutely horrified, and decided that I was going to put my foot down and say, we have enough. So that was when I only knew that they were planning this for Northern California, Oregon, Washington, and Idaho along the Pacific Ocean. I did not know for some time that there were a whole series of these other complexes, as they call them, that were in the Hawaiian Islands, the Marianas Islands, in other words, all along the Atlantic seaboard and planned for the Gulf of Mexico.
But that's where they give the birth and nurture their cubs, their pups.
Yes,
their calves. Sorry, got the wrong term there. I mean, we're basically talking about decimating the whole whale and dolphin population.
That's right. There will be no survival because the sonar that's going to impact them doesn't stop at the boundaries of their range complexes. It travels for hundreds of miles beyond those locations where they initiate the sonar.
And we know that so many have already died because of the sonar testing. So are we talking about this being cranked up to a higher level?
This is a higher level because they're asking permission from the U.S. Department of Commerce to actually okay these permits for them to decimate these populations of marine mammals. And they're guessing that the marine mammal impacts would be 11.7 million over 5 years, but we have no idea because if they take a Hellfire missile and they explode it, or one of these underwater bomb blasts, the thing is that they would kill everything in its path, and that they would not know what they had what they had taken out, or may not even find them. So we don't know the real impact.
Well, I don't think they really care what they take out anyway.
No, they don't, because they got they think the Navy has decided that the citizens of the United States do not count in the equation. Human health does not count in this equation, and that it's almost like the military is acting like they're a dictatorship, and that the people have no say.
Well, it's looking that way unless we somehow manage to get people to rise up in huge numbers.
Well, unless we get enough people to speak out and we get the United States senators and congressmen to hold congressional hearings to protect our marine mammals, we can't even get the information to the President of the United States. And he states on a website that he's got a whole group of people, a task force to protect the oceans, to protect marine mammals, and yet this program to decimate 11.7 million with bomb blasts and sonars and all the other things they're going to be doing, toxic chemicals, etc., we can't even get our senators to acknowledge this, much less the White House. So they're acquiescing in this, even though we've sent petitions, we have tried to get the press to cover it in the major media. There's a blackout here. Except for KTVU Oakland San Francisco Channel 2 in California, which was the only one TV station that would cover this. Everyone else has said, no, they aren't going to cover it. They aren't going to talk about it. We're going to pretend it doesn't exist, and we're going to run on campaigns that we're saving the oceans.
This is really very exasperating. I'm from the San Francisco Bay Area, and it used to be one of the most open places in the world for free thinking. I mean, as free as you can get in our controlled environments. But to hear you say this, that even in San Francisco people aren't talking about this, is really quite traumatic, quite disturbing.
Well, the San Francisco Chronicle, which is the big newspaper for Northern California, won't cover it. Even though they know fully well that and have been informed that this is happening, they won't cover the story.
Why do you think that is? Fear?
I think they've been told not to cover the story. I think that they've really been told that this is not a story to touch and that this news is going to be blacked out because we don't want people to know what, you know, what's really happening so that there would be an objection made.
Well, I then, first of all, congratulate you for having the courage to get out there and care enough to put your own life or your own reputation at risk to demand that we look at this story, one of many that regards the perennial attack on particularly whales and dolphins. It just, it's sometimes it's a little bit hopeless, I have to say, but we know that nothing is hopeless, and so we have to focus on what can be done now. Petitions help, but we need to somehow blast this, pardon the term, to a higher level of human consciousness.
Well, here's what I think is going to happen. When other countries find out that we are escalating our war and we are going to war on marine mammals that benefit the entire population of the world, tourism, it benefits for, in other words, the fishing industry, the tourism industry, all these things, and it also feeds a lot of the people of the world, is where we get our fish from. And one of the things that we have to note is that this is an escalation of war. It escalates the Cold War. It means that other countries, knowing that we are testing, are likely to start testing and doing the same things. And I think that this could create an international incident of monumental proportions. And I think other countries need to, besides the people of the United States, need to begin to say that war is not the solution, and going to war on ourselves and on the oceans is just not tenable in any by any stretch of the word.
All right. Well, let me just ask you this question. What makes you so sure that the other nations aren't already well aware of it, and given the global reality of the new one-world order that's being put into place? Are you so sure that other nations will not already be part of this greater design? I'm not quite sure what the design is. I have my own ideas about that. We'll get into that. But do you really think that other nations are not aware of what's going on?
Well, my mother wrote to every single ambassador to the United Nations. That's every country. She wrote a letter, and she gave them the information. We have had some countries respond back with personal letters commending us for making people aware of this program. So it's not a case of where other countries may not know. I absolutely think they know. However, the United States is taking a very threatening, dominating position that if you don't do what we want, then we will either, you know, stop funding, giving funds, or we will, in other words, push our military onto you and force you into compliance. And I'm not, as a United States citizen, I'm not interested in going down this path at all, and I'm not interested in going to war on our oceans. So I think that there becomes a time when the people have to know, because I think that maybe other nations knew, but I don't think that the people on the ground, and I can tell you from talking to people all over the United States, that whenever I bring this subject up, they did not know. And I believe it because there was a cover-up, and there's definitely a cover-up going on now to not let the majority of U.S. citizens know what's going on.
Yes, well, I agree with you completely, because I am also talking to as many people as possible about this situation. I was not aware of this 5-year, which, of course, is probably eternal until they blow up the planet, but this 5-year campaign to just annihilate all living things in the ocean. But we do know that so many of the whales that are beaching themselves are simply unable to bear to tolerate these frequencies, this sound in the ocean. This is why they're beaching themselves.
Oh, I believe that too. And I believe that it's not just our testing. I think other countries are doing some of the same thing as well. But it's time that we begin to look at, you know, in other words, we can't sustain this kind of warfare program from the United States. I mean, there is going to be no survival from this. And the impacts on all the coastal communities, the toxic chemicals are going to be used, human health impacts are not being discussed at all, nor does human health seem to be even an issue that is considered by any government agency with regard to this program.
Well, I'll tell you what, I don't want to get too deep into proverbial water here, but it doesn't look like any governments in the world are particularly concerned about human health. And I've got a lot of undercurrent in that statement, which I'm sure you understand. I think that what you're describing here and what we are becoming aware of happening is much worse, much more grave, and much more diabolical than simple testing excuses or testing warfare techniques. Think about it. It's so much overkill. Don't you suppose that there's a bigger plan here to have to cover all of the oceans on the planet Earth and to make sure everything dies in them? Don't you think that it sounds like there's something bigger at stake than simple war testing?
I think that there is something bigger at stake, and I agree with you on that. I don't know quite what the stakes are. I can only speculate on that area. But I can tell you that the documents are there for all of the warfare testing programs that we're going to be doing. They're online. People can read about them. The links are on my website, CaliforniaSkyWatch.com, and you can read them and speculate about what you think this is all about as well, because I think that we all need to begin to look inside ourselves and say if we're going to acquiesce or if we're going to say no to this.
I mean, if we're going to acquiesce to this, and it's as grave as you're saying, we're talking about within 5 years, almost no life in the oceans. Not to mention what's going on the surface, on the ground. A world without life in the oceans? Without the music of the whales?
Yes, we're only going to have these marine mammals and our fish and our sea turtles and all the other things that are going to be impacted. We're going to be able to look at them in picture books of what was. And that's all our children or grandchildren, if they survive all this, are going to see is just what's in picture books. There won't be any reality. And when we do this to ourselves, we're actually killing ourselves. We're actually going to war on ourselves.
Definitely. Boy, there seems to be an overdose of testosterone in the Navy. And the military.
Well, it's not just the Navy. I did find complexes where the U.S. Air Force and the U.S. Army are also getting permission from the National Marine Fisheries Service, that's a branch of the U.S. Department of Commerce, to also conduct sonar testing using their facilities as well. So it's not just the Navy. It's all of our armed forces are now actively involved and engaged in this.
So it's all at war against the ocean, and the excuse is that we're testing for war. Is that not an oxymoron?
Yes, it is, because why would you practice for war if you're going to destroy the very earth that we live on and you're going to destroy everything that's in it in your practice? I mean, this absolutely, I can't even fathom this when I think about it.
I know, it's just like diabolique. It's like some James Bond plot of proportions that are not anything but science fiction, and yet it's being played out before us. And we have a relatively passive global society.
I think we do, because many people around the world are trying to survive. They're trying to live day to day. And I think that the people in the United States historically that spoke up and fought for civil liberties, for example, women's right to vote here in the United States, all these things, are either older or passed away. And the new generation thinks that by being on the computer and listening to their iPods and their cell phones, that this is what life is about. They don't realize that the food that they eat, that the marine mammals that we have out there, that all the oceans provide for all of us. I mean, they even climate is associated with the health of the oceans. There's lots of things going on. And I think that they must think that, you know, they go to the grocery store and everything is supplied for them without realizing where it comes from. And I think that we have a society that's sleeping, that just thinks that some technology will fix everything and that war is great as long as it doesn't arrive in my backyard. So
exactly. I always use that analogy when I talk to people. People say, it could get really bad here. What do you mean it could be? Just because we live in the comfort zone of Western societies that haven't seen utter despair, utter famine, nonstop war, it's here. It's just not in your soup. It's not in your neighborhood, so you can pretend like it's not happening.
Yes, and also we can pretend that we're not impacting anyone else or that war is justified. It's just like sending, you know, having people in the United States who command the drones that bomb Pakistan, for example. So we can do this by having people, you know, targeting people and bombing them from a distance. And so therefore we're not impacted, that we are somehow justified in bombing other people. This is not justified, no more than going to war on the marine mammals. None of it is. And we have to take responsibility, and I can't allow myself to stand by and not say that this is wrong and not acquiesce in the policy. It's just like, you know, in other words, it's just like approving it by saying nothing, we approve. And I can't say nothing and not approve of this.
I agree with you. I can't remember what great statesman said. I think it was Martin Luther King that said silence is of itself, I'm forgetting exact words, but basically his message was silence is the greatest violence of all. To sit by and watch it unfold and just worry about your little, so many people say this to me, you know, Patricia, I really appreciate your concern, but I only want to think about positive things. Well, that's groovy. I want to think about positive things too. And I think caring enough about trying to make a difference about something so important is very positive. I know, but it's too painful to talk about. Well, then get out of your emotional zone and rise up to the occasion of just being a human on this planet. We're supposed to be the species with the intelligence.
I agree with you. But I also think people are afraid. And I want to say, even you raised the question, you know, risking my life. I'm not risking my life talking about what the Navy is doing or the Air Force or our government is doing. It is my right as an American citizen under freedom of speech and freedom of the press and all the rest of it, and until someone comes and takes it away, I have the right to speak out. And I'm not speaking about any documents or saying anything that isn't that the Navy and the Air Force and all the rest of the services, they put it on the internet themselves. There's no secret documents here. There's nothing. Anybody can look at the documents on my website. Anybody can read about it. They can Google these things. And so when someone says to me, well, I'm risking my life, I'm not risking my life. I have a right to speak out. I'm not only a citizen of the United States, but I'm a citizen of the world. And that if my government is not doing the right thing, I have a right to speak out about it.
Well, touche and hurrah for that statement. But I am also someone who puts herself out there with unpopular statements and beliefs, and I really don't believe we have freedom of speech anymore. It's a very, it's a nice utopian concept, but the freedom is being broken down before our eyes. We now have czars in America. Why is nobody reacting to the fact that all these positions are entitled czar? I find that very interesting for a democratic republic. I just recently heard that now there's a czar for behavior modification. Have you heard of this number?
I haven't heard of that one yet, but I'm not surprised. But
you know, hello, the United States of America, the utopic democracy, now has czars for safety, czars for transportation, czars for the media, and yes, a new czar for behavior modification. Now, if this is not waking people up enough to say, excuse me, why do we need a czar, first of all? Very strange term. And secondly, what do they mean by behavior modification? Duh.
Well, I'm going to go, I'll go look it up and I'll let you know what I think about that one because that's a new one on me.
It's a new one on me too, but it just makes me very nervous. Being told that the hate crimes, we must have a hate crimes czar too, and the internet being soon, it'll be very difficult to communicate as we are on the internet. And people are so really, people that are listening, I don't mean you because you're listening and you're open-minded, but let's talk about the mass population just says, well, if it's for our safety, it's a good thing. It just makes you wonder what they are spraying overhead, doesn't it?
It makes me wonder a lot, too.
I see I've got an absolute kindred spirit on the other end of this conversation.
I think you do in a lot of ways because I think that we have to just speak out. When you talk about freedom of speech and freedom of the press and utopia, I agree that we don't live in a utopia, especially here in the United States, because a lot of issues are blacked out by the media on purpose. They won't talk about it. So it isn't that we have any, you know, in other words, right to have these issues come out and be put forward in the press. However, we can make a dent and have already made a dent in beginning to bring this to the light of many people who are really starting to rise here and object to this. And so bringing the issue out is eventually going to force this one out into the public domain in a bigger way. And I think that this is what's going on. I mean, I'm going to take out a big ad in the San Francisco Chronicle with a big poster on it. And the top headline is San Francisco Chronicle won't cover, won't cover issue to protect our marine mammals. So I'm going to really hit them hard on this. And they're not going to like seeing that ad in their own paper, but we're going to do it because we have to reach a lot of people with this issue. So that's the plan, one of them. So the newspapers may think that they aren't going to cover an issue because they won't write about it, but we're going to get it into their advertising anyway.
Good for you. What other plans have you got in your vision?
Well, part of it is that I'm going to go back to Washington, D.C., and we're going to have some demonstrations. We're going to do some events back there coming up later this year. But right now, part of it is that I'm going to push it into advertising in all the major newspapers, and we're going to get the subject out one way or another. I don't care if we have to picket every station or whatever it takes. And a lot of people are joining up and are willing to do this with us. So that's if you need to contact us at CaliforniaSkyWatch.com, or I'm willing to put my telephone number out there. It's 707-485-7520. My email is info@CaliforniaSkyWatch.com, all spelled out. So I'm willing to talk about this. We're organizing. We're going to need a lot of support. There are petitions online at my website. And I just encourage people to step up, use the posters, use the information, and work hard. Because we have to stand for something. We cannot just abdicate and say that we acquiesce to all this. I just won't do it. And many of us who are working on this won't do it either.
And how about your reach out of the United States? It seems to me that a wonderful strategy would be, and in fact, if you've had such a response from the UN, is to start approaching other leaderships, other governments, other nations, more or less other people in the countries.
Well, I had been contacting them and in communication with people from Canada, Brazil, New Zealand, Australia, all over the world before on other issues regarding persistent jet contrails and experimental weather modification programs, which we're engaged in. So this list I am using to touch bases back with them on this issue and to see if we can't organize protests in a lot of different places. So that's beginning to make some changes too, because more people are becoming aware of what we're up to.
And have you got some organizations on your side overseas?
No, actually, no. The except for one environmental group, who is very quiet as far as not doing press releases or anything. None of the environmental organizations or any other organization that I know of is actually coming out holding press conferences and is willing to tackle this, because they're afraid that they'll lose their funding. They put out, Sierra Club, for example, puts out cutesy pictures of little animals, you know, sea life, polar bears, different things, for example. And they want to raise funds for keeping them, you know, keeping their corporate coffers full. And I think that they've been put into the corporate arena now of, and not tackling anything that might be controversial. So the Navy, going after the Navy on this, or the U.S. government, is not on their list of things to do.
Well, what about organizations that claim they take no donations from government, they have no subsidies from government, so that they can be, like Greenpeace declares, they get no funding, it's only from individuals?
Greenpeace has been approached several times, and as far as I know, it's no comment.
That would be very strange. They won't have any oceans to protect if there's nothing living in them.
Well, a lot of groups are taking a position, even though they may be, a lot of groups are doing absolutely nothing. They might raise a voice, you know, kind of behind the scenes, but when it comes out to really stepping out and really putting pressure on Congress and really doing something, I would say the answer is an absolute 100% no. So I haven't contributed to them for a long time, but I certainly am not going to contribute to any of their pleas at this point.
Well, that it's good to know that, because I do donate to them, and that will stop now if they're not willing to have the courage to step up to this absolutely essential question. Then what are they doing?
Well, the question before anybody sends them any money is to say, okay, are you going to be, you know, going to stopping this Navy warfare testing and the bombing and decimation of the oceans? And if they say no, then I would say no contribution. I mean, it's real simple. I'm perfectly willing to put pressure in their direction as well.
All right, everybody. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Rosalyn Peterson. We're speaking about one of the most important matters that we are confronting as residents of planet Earth, and that is the new all-out war on everything alive in the oceans, because we don't kill enough human beings to keep everybody happy. So now we're going to go after the living creatures of the ocean that have no way to protect themselves at all from the attack that's being planned and already beginning. So if you've just tuned in, I'd like you to remember this name, Rosalyn Peterson. And her website is www.californiaskywatch, right?
Yes.
CaliforniaSkywatch.com. Mm-hmm. So don't waste your time. Don't go there now, because you'll miss listening to the conversation. So please just jot it down, CaliforniaSkywatch.com. And when we finish the show, you can go out there and show Rosalyn that you are not going to sit down and be quiet and be part of the anesthetized humanity that just doesn't want to talk about it. We are going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it until something happens to change it, because we can make change happen. And when you talk to people like Rosalyn, you realize that ain't no mountain too high for human beings to get into gear. All right, Rosalyn, I'll say, where were we? I get all emotional. I can't help it.
Well, I do, too. I try to keep my sense of humor sometimes, but it's difficult when we see what we're doing to ourselves.
Sorry, go ahead.
I'd like to say that to everyone, if you take one action, if it isn't that you have to have a whole crusade and spend, you know, every day of your life doing this, but if you begin to take one or two actions, and you take it once a week or twice a week or something, you will make a difference. And that's the issue. And if we all work together, we can make change. If we don't, then it's one voice and it's going to go nowhere. And so it's up to all of us to step up to the plate and not stand down and just pretend like nothing is going on.
And that is the fundamental point, because like Rosalind says, well, not everybody is going to be putting themselves out there in front like Rosalind does, like I do, and so many other warriors who are out there fighting for causes or speaking their truth at whatever, you don't want me to use the word risk, so I'll just say at whatever cost. But here, the question of uniting forces, caring that much to join, become involved on some level with some of the work of the warriors of this planet. And like Rosalind says, you know, you can start with signing a petition. You can bring out pamphlets, material, information. The thing that we need now more than ever, how can we stress it enough, is to wake up as many people as possible. At this moment on our planet, there are a lot of people that are very excited about their own spiritual awakenings, for lack of a more general term. And it's nice, and that's fun, and it's great. But it's not enough. It's not enough to be enjoying our own awakening. We have got to know that that's just part of helping the planet evolve. On the issue of the whales, dolphins, and all the other beings in the ocean, hey, guys, no life in the ocean, no life on planet Earth. Why is this hard to understand? I'm getting emotional again.
It's okay.
Rosalind?
I've said this. It's okay. I've said the same thing again. In other words, I've said this, and people do say to me, well, you know, that there's nothing they can do. They say that, well, you know, in other words, they're afraid that someone might, you know, kill them or something will happen to them if they speak out. And I look at this and I look at this fear and I go, where did this come from? Our ancestors, our ancestors who, in the United States, for example, the women who got the right to vote stood up, went to jail. And there weren't many of them, but they fought and women got the right to vote. And some of the benefits that we all benefit from here in the United States, in other words, better working conditions, 8-hour days of working and having days off and vacations and all this. People in the coal mines and other areas unionized and went to jail and died and were beat up because they believed in something. And we stand here and we take this all for granted and we say, well, we don't need to stand up. We don't need to do anything because what comes down, well, that's somebody else's problem. And I say, no, it's going to be our children and our grandchildren who are going to suffer the consequences of the action. And if we don't stand up, our generation is going to have a black mark against it for not being the ones to stand up and fight for making the place a better, the world and our government a better, something better instead of standing for what it does now, which is really awful in many instances.
And you know, Rosalind, if you think about it, your description of that, those times, when people gathered and united forces, and I'm a Vietnam War baby here, from not the baby, but I was a protester in that period, and we were able to congregate then. And it just seems it's with the new wave of technology, people are so isolated, so virtual, so in virtual reality, that even to have a conversation with anybody, you've got to do it on Twitter. And this separation, this isolation, is taking away our power to unite forces and energies as human beings. It seems to be just dissipating through the virtual waves. We can use this tool to a certain point, and on the other side of the coin is a lot of resignation. You vent it on the internet, and then you go about your little isolated business,
And this isn't good. We've got to join together. We have to be together.
This is absolutely true. And I want to say something about the Internet. You know, a lot of people will take this information and they'll go blog it out and they'll go send it to others on the Internet. And they think that they have accomplished a lot, and they did accomplish something. But here's the rub. Unless you take that off the Internet, and unless you deliver it up to your elected officials, unless you write letters to the newspapers, unless you make human contact with your elected representatives, unless you, in other words, meet with other people and work out plans and what to do, in other words, complaining on the Internet is probably the most worthless thing, or blogging some statement about how you don't like this, without taking any other action means that it's going to go nowhere. And that's what people don't understand about the Internet, is that it's nice and other people can learn about things, but then it's the action you take beyond the Internet which will make a difference. It's not going to be the action that you take on the Internet, because I can tell you that a lot of people are not going to read your blogs. They're not going to read all of these things. And unless we motivate the action of others to step outside the Internet, in other words, my sending out an email is not going to have any effect unless someone actually gets on the telephone and actually takes an action off the Internet, outside their house, or on the telephone, or makes contact with other people. And this is where it's going to be the difference. And but being on the Internet isn't going to do it.
Yeah, well, it seems to be a way to vent your emotion for the moment. Feel like you've gotten it out, you've expressed yourself, you've done something, and then go back into your daily routines that don't necessarily have any global impact. Now, I'm not suggesting that every person on the planet has to become an activist focused on nothing else but saving the planet, but it would be nice, considering the shape the planet is in. At any rate, what are we going to do? Let's talk about constructive things that could, for the person who's listening now, I'm getting stuck here, because as I'm having this conversation, I'm seeing the eye of the whale that I looked at when I was in Newfoundland. I'm not trying to drop names here or places here, but I just recently was on a whale study expedition in Newfoundland and was out there with the great whales, and it's very hard for me not to be emotional. For those of you who know me know how emotional I am about this subject, to when you look into the eye, the intelligent, loving, immense eye of a whale, and it's almost an imploring, please help us look. Of course, I've got all my human consciousness loading it with my own emotions, but truly, truly, guys, imagine a world without these beautiful beings. Where are we headed? It is really time to care enough to get out of your comfort zone and take specific actions to help awaken as many people as you can that this cannot occur. So whether you're worried about your kids for school and worried about the work and the job and what you're going to wear tonight when you go out, I'm not trying to talk down to anyone, but for God's sakes, you have to worry about this. You have to think about it. I take out the worry word. You have to think about it, and you have to care about it if you want this planet to make it. So, Rosalind, in the few minutes that we have left, let's talk about constructive things that people can do to support you, because you're obviously a determined warrior, and I'm so, so proud of you for that. For the first step, what constructive things can people do to support you? First thing is to get on your website and to read about what you've got going on.
Well, the first thing to do is to look at what we're seeing. In other words, education is the first thing. To read the environmental impact statements or to look at some of the information that's there so that you have a clear idea of what we're dealing with. And once you see it and once you've read it, then you have to take that and you have to translate it, if you can, into an action. In other words, for example, to put ads in newspapers that won't cover this story, it costs money. to contact our elected representatives from wherever you are, local, state, federal, in other countries, whatever. It's time to get the word out and away from the internet, but to get the word out, to get newspapers to cover the story. It's time that we begin to take an action. In other words, a protest. It's time to organize. It's time to begin to talk about what we want for the future. In other words, this is an examination of what kind of life we want for our children, our grandchildren, what kind of life we want for ourselves, and do we want to be engaged everywhere in destroying what makes this planet wonderful? So those are questions that we all have to address. The actions that we take are letter writing, the actions that we take are communicating, telephone calls, and I'm not saying that the internet is bad, but just writing to somebody.
It's just not enough.
It's not enough. It has to be more. And
okay, but
a
lot of people would say, well, that sounds good, but I don't know where to start. So if you've got somebody that, and I'm sure there will be a lot of people hearing this interview today who will say, I must do something. Please help me understand what to do. What do you suggest they do? Do you need donations? Or let's say that I'm suggesting that people would want to help you because you have a very clear path. What to do?
If they want to help us,
for the person who's listening who is either just hearing about this or is still not clear how to go about making any kind of impact, what would you like people to do?
Well, they can download and sign the petitions. They can make contributions because it's expensive to get the word out because the media doesn't cover it.
Okay.
What happens is that anything that anyone can do in writing letters, contacting elected officials, in other words, we could use all the support here that we can get because I can take whatever you're doing, we can multiply it 1,000 times because
you can count on me.
The more that we, thank you. But the more that we get out and speak about this and talk about this and, in other words, rally to support those who are going to oppose this is really what's going to make a difference as well. So I encourage all of you to find a means of making some sort of contribution, in other words, or of your time, of learning about this subject, of beginning to say, you know, in other words, the action that you take, and all of us are brilliant warriors. The military likes to use that term for our military men. And I thought, well, the women of the United States and women from around the world and men, we're all brilliant warriors, and we all can map out a plan that we can use.
Right. We're warriors for peace, and we're warriors for truth, and we're warriors for light.
That's right.
And we can do it, and we really have to do it. I remind people that I've got a book coming out in 2010, and the title is Before We Leave You, Messages from the Great Whales and the Dolphins. And it's so prophetic that this title and the whole concept for the book comes before this information of what is being planned for the oceans. So before they leave us, we really must, if we are very questionably the most intelligent species on the planet, by God, let's rise to the occasion and use that intelligence to affect probably the most important change, the most important thing that will determine the future of not only our species, not only the life on this planet, the entire Earth, and who knows, maybe the entire system. Without life and the music in the oceans, this planet is not going to make it, period. You agree with that, Rosalind?
Yes, I agree with that. And also, once we allow warfare to be, the mass destruction of our oceans, then the next thing is the mass destruction of us as well, because we can't survive if we're going to be the test subjects of militaries from anywhere in the world, including the military of the United States. In other words, we don't wish to be, and I can't think of any American citizens who want to be test subjects for military warfare testing. And that's exactly what the door is open for right now.
Well, we already are, and that will be the subject for the next time you come on my program. But nonetheless, I'm being a little bit facetious here. Nonetheless, yes, we simply cannot have a planet that is completely, utterly, totally dedicated to war. And I leave you with this thought because we're winding down here. We do talk about life from other civilizations, other ET presence and life from other planets. And, you know, people say, well, if they are about, why don't they show themselves to us? And as my friend Stanton Friedman says, well, if we would just stop shooting at everything, they may just. And I'd like to leave you with this thought. We talk about that. We wonder and hope for an evolution where the human race is confronted with, hopefully positively, life from other worlds. And, you know, imagine what we're labeled as down here on this warring planet. It's not enough that they're killing each other off. Now they're going after the entire ocean populations. For God's sakes, people, it is time to rise as we've never risen before. I know we've got it in us. And with people like Rosalind illuminating the way, I know that you're not going to want to take all the credit here, Rosalind. I know there are a lot of warriors out there, but you've got clarity, you've got a mission, and you have vision. And so please take her name, Rosalind Peterson, take the website, CaliforniaSkyWatch.com, get in touch, see what you can do to help her and other people like her, and that includes me, determined to make this go away. Rosalind, I have to say goodbye. We are already at the hour. What can I say? I'm emotional, a little emotional here. Very, very grateful for all you do. Very, very honored to have had you on my program and to know that there are people like you out there. Gives me hope.
Well, there's people like you out there, and that gives me hope as well. And it's only in working together can we make positive change. And thank
you. Absolutely. And there's people like you out there, people, listening, moved to action. So here we are, a bunch of warriors. Let's get moving. Let's make something happen big time, as fast as possible. Okay, Rosalind, I've got to say goodbye. I will definitely want you to come back over and over again. Maybe we could just have our own program. Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone. We get on with our day. The thoughts are difficult, but real. Let's be in reality. Let's make it change. All right. This is Patricia Corey, www.SyrianRevelations.net. I'm signing out. I'm going to go sit in the sun and celebrate this conversation, this day, this information, and what it empowers me to do. Thank you, Rosalind. Arrivederci. Bye, everyone. Listen in next Saturday for another riveting show on Beyond the Matrix. Bye-bye.